A husband and wife were watching a television show about rebellious youth and how youth were being rebellious and causing riots and causing crime. And the husband turns to his wife and he goes, "Man, what a mess. What's wrong with these kids? Where did our generation go wrong?" And the wife calmly turns to the husband and says, "Well, we had children." You know, is the problem with the world today children or is it parents? The answer is yes. It's yes. And so we're going to continue our study of the book of Colossians. And we went through the doctrine portion, how Jesus is supreme, how he is the Son of God, he is God, and he died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead. And now we're looking at the section where it says how it changes our lives, how it applies to us. And so we're talking about God's family plan. God's plan for your family. Colossians 3:18. You want to look in your bulletin, your handout. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. And the verse 20, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Last week we talked about marriage. And if you missed that sermon, you can find it online. Today we're going to talk about parents and children. The Apostle Paul specifically addressed children in this passage, the children in the Colossians church. And that's because children are important to God. In fact, the first command God gave Adam and Eve was what? Go forth, multiply, and fill the earth. Have children. In this way, God gave us this command because in this way, we share in the creative activity of God. We create children. We're doing God's work. When we have children, God wanted us to have children to teach us to understand how much He loves us, how much He cares about us, how much He gave us. It makes our lives rich and full when we experience the love of a parent and a child. It's very, very special. It's different from a husband and wife. Parent and child has a very different relationship. Very makes you rich. Now, I have a driver's license. I have a marriage license. I have a CPA. I used to have a CPA license. I have a fishing license. I used to have a hunting license. But I have no license to raise children. You know, all those other ones, I had to take tests and go through training. But I was given three children. So that means we need help. We need God's word to show us how to raise children, how to be good children. So let's look at the children side first. Number one on your outline says, honor and obedience brings the blessing. Young people, children, you want to be blessed in life? Honor and obedience. Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. See, children are not told to submit to their parents. They are told to obey them. And not just obey them, but obey them in everything. Not just when they're looking, or not just when you want something, but obey them in everything. This pleases God. And we know in Scripture, when God is pleased, we will be blessed. When our lives please God, we will be blessed. Jesus Christ is the example for all children to follow. If we look in Luke 2:51, I think Jesus was 12 years old. And if you know the story, the family went to Jerusalem and they went in a big caravan of family from the village. And then when they left Jerusalem, halfway out, they realized that Jesus was not with them. In fact, Jesus was still in the temple learning about God. And so his parents went back and they're all freaked out because they lost their kid. And Jesus says, "Where do you think I'd be? I'd be in the temple, you know, learning about my father." And then in verse 51, it says, "Then he went down to Nazareth with them, his parents, and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart." He was obedient to his parents. Even though he was a son of God, even though he's God himself, he was obedient to his earthly parents. You know, there's hundreds and thousands of books, if you go on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, about raising kids, but God's word gives us all we need. I want to look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with the promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on this earth." God says, children, young people, you'll have a better life and a better future if you trust your parents, if you believe in their words and follow their instructions. Life will just be better. You know, it doesn't say, but we can conclude then that if we rebel and fight against our parents, your life will be filled with pain and problems. I know plenty of people who just fought with their parents their whole lives, us full of pain and problems. They're never happy, never content. Now, obedience, in this next fill-in, obedience has to do with your actions. Obedience means I follow their instruction, I obey them. And we obey our parents. I teach my children to obey me because I want them to learn from my mistakes. Why should they have to learn their own mistakes? They can learn from my mistakes and grow further along. When you obey your parents, you avoid needless emotional pain and suffering. You avoid sinful behavior and sinful danger when you listen to your parents. When you obey your parents and you heed their instruction and you understand why they are giving it to you, you know how to make good decisions. It makes life easier and better. Obey your parents. Honor, on the other hand, honor has to do with your attitudes. I don't want my children to obey me because they fear me. I want them to obey me because they love me and they respect me. Honor has to do with your attitude. The word honored means you value something. So if you honor your parents, that means you value them. You're grateful for them. You thank God that He gave you your parents. If you honor your parents, if you value them, you will give them love and respect. You will seek to bring honor to them by the way you live. Not just when you're a kid, when you're older. I have parents, my parents are in their 90s now. I honor them. See, the good life begins when we obey and honor our parents. So have a good attitude toward your parents and obey them with your actions. Be grateful for them. On the other side of this passage, we go to number two, which is parents raise your children. And we raise our children in three different ways from what I can tell from my experience. There's a story of a boy and his little brother, and they were dedicated one Sunday by their parents to the Lord. And they stood in front of her like we did this past year, and the parents committed to raise the children in a Christian home. But on the way home, after church, he started to cry, and he was sobbing, and the father goes, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" And he wouldn't say anything, and he kept crying, and finally, the father said, "Just tell me, why are you crying?" The little boy replied, "Well, the pastor said he wanted us to be brought up in a Christian home." And the father goes, "Yes, what's wrong with that?" And the boy says, "But I want to stay with you guys." How are you raising your kids? What do your kids see when you raise them? Hopefully you're all bringing them up in Christian homes. I hope so. Okay, some parents do this. They spoil the child. They just spoil the kid when they're growing up. You spoil your child when you give them everything. You spoil your child when you give them everything they ask for. You spoil your child when you do everything for your kid. They don't learn personal responsibility. They don't know how to work hard. They give up easily. They don't know how to get things done. When that happens and you spoil your children when they're little, when they become teenagers, I can tell you this, your life will be full of pain and problems as a parent. I've seen this over and over. That's why in the book of Proverbs, look at these two verses in Proverbs 13:24. Solomon says, "He who spares a rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline them." Careful to discipline them. Proverbs 29:15, "The rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother." You know, we've all seen kids in the store, the grocery store, they're throwing a fit, they're throwing their temper, they're on the floor, you know, kicking their feet and crying. When I'm a parent, that just embarrasses me. You know, when my kid does that, they've never done that, I can tell you this though. They better not do it, no. But when I see other parents with their kids, it's like, oh, that's embarrassing. That's shameful. If you love your child, you will discipline them. Now understand this, discipline is not abuse. Discipline is not being mean. Discipline is an act of love. And so he talks about the rod of correction. They talk about a shepherd's rod. And the shepherd's rod was a wooden stick used to control and protect the sheep. The sheep start moving out of line. They get the rod and they kind of tap it to put them back with the flock. The rod was also used to protect the sheep. So if an animal wanted to attack, they would throw the rod like a missile towards the wolf or the lion or the bear. It was used to correct and protect and to guide. It's interesting that the word rod also can be translated scepter. A scepter is a sign of a ruler and authority. So parents are to discipline their children. They're supposed to rule over them and protect them. Never in anger, only in love. Spoiled children disgrace and embarrass their mothers. Are you spoiling your kids? Are you giving them everything they want? When you look in their room, they have toys like falling out of off the shelves and out the door. Are you spoiling your kids? The second way parents raise kids is they are too strict. They are strict. They make them toe the line. Colossians 3:21. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Embitter means make them resentful. You're so harsh, so strict. There's almost no love, only legalism. And it makes them bitter. They become resentful towards you. They stir up their soul. They become irritated towards you. Instead of bringing the best out in your kid, you bring out the worst. Now, how many parents would want to bring out the worst in their child? I don't. I want the best. I want to see the best. But sometimes we don't want to do that. What we accidentally bring it out of them by what we do. See, we embitter We embitter our children when we push them to be something we want them to be. Something that a dream of ours. You know, I want my kid, we heard that story about the tiger mom and all this. I want my kid to be the valedictorian of the school. Or I want my kid to be a star athlete. And I've seen this in a lot of families, and they push them that way. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. When you're too strict, you provoke your child to anger. You make them angry at you. Parents don't turn your child against you. I know you don't want to, but sometimes you do. Sometimes you compare them to their siblings and say, what's wrong with you? Why couldn't you be like your brother or your sister? Sometimes you constantly disappoint them and you're constantly disappointed in them and you look down on them when you look at their report card and can't you do anything good? Can't you do any better? Sometimes you favor one child or another. Or maybe you just keep breaking your promises. You know, we'll go to the zoo this Saturday. No, I got to work this Saturday. I got to go play golf. I'm busy. You break your promises over and over. You can break your kid or you can turn them against you if you're too strict. See, children have a natural desire to want to please you. Children have hunger for your love and attention. As parents, we need to use that to train our children to show them the way. If you drive the natural love that a child has for you out of their soul, all you're left with is bitterness, anger, and resentment. Is that the kind of kid you want? Someone who's angry and resentful? See, children need to develop self-esteem. They need to develop pride. They need to appreciate who they are. They need to realize that God doesn't make junk and that they are just right the way they are. Maybe the kid wants to be taller or shorter or prettier or not as pretty. You know, it doesn't matter. We need to help children understand that who they are is the way God made them, and we need to be grateful. See, if your child is discouraged, if you've discouraged them and embittered them, children who are discouraged are easy prey for the devil. The devil loves children like that because they don't know what to do. They're confused. They feel rejected. They feel unloved. And when they feel this way, they will turn to the world of money or sex or drinking or addictions to give meaning to their lives. So parents, don't spoil your kids. Don't be too strict. How many of you are strict, too strict, that you embitter your children? The third way is the way we're supposed to go. The third one is that they show them the way. God wants parents to show them the way. Proverbs 22:6, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. You know, I know a lot of you have invested in your children. I've watched them grow up. I've seen them grow up well. And I can see in their adult age in their 20s and 30s, they know the way. They're still going the right way. And parents, we need to show them the way. The word train comes from a Hebrew word that means to dedicate, like in we dedicate a house. It means that in this context, it means we make a commitment to instruct a child in accordance with proper rules and proper behavior. We use the biblical rule, biblical behavior. And you have to understand, parents, that this is hands-on training. You show them the way. You don't pay someone else to show them the way. I had a neighbor who had two kids, and he had a swimming pool. And I said, well, what is your family doing today? And he goes, well, I'm sending the kids to swimming class. I said, you have a pool in your backyard. Why don't you teach them? I don't want to teach them. And now, don't get me wrong, it's okay to take them to swim classes and all that, but man, if you can show them, you can show them how to ride a bicycle, how to do their math, how to solve problems, and you spend time with them, it goes a long way in enriching their life. So you show them the way to go. Not the way you want them to go, but the way God wants them to go. That means you don't imprint your dreams on them and your desires, the things you wanted that you never accomplished, but now you want to see it in your kids. You know, I want to see my kid as a doctor. I want my child to be the most popular kid in school, and I push them that way. Well, that's not the way they should go. Maybe that's the way you wanted to go. Their path will be different. On the other hand, I read about, you hear about the parents who are raising free-range children? Free-range children? What that means is they don't want to tell their kids what to do. They want them to discover it for themselves. They don't even walk their kids to the bus stop when they're, you know, in third grade. And, you know, they just let them be. I'm going to let my kids be. It's called free-range child raising. They don't want to prejudice their minds. It should be up to the child to choose their path in life. Well, all I can say to that is this biblical word, baloney. Baloney. It's a biblical word. If you want to come over to my house, I'll show you my free-range garden. This is a picture of my free-range garden. Yeah. You know, I go out there and I don't want to give any direction. I don't want to do any, pull up any weeds. I'm just going to let it go. You know? Now, this is the garden I want. This is the garden I want. Yeah. Yeah, that happens on its own. You know? Just happens on its own. I'm helping my daughter with their house and their weeds. And they don't, we got a new house and they won't let me spray it with Roundup or anything. I'm like, seriously, you know what that means? You got to get a shovel and you know. And so we're learning organic ways to control weeds. It doesn't work. I can just tell you that right now. You know, a healthy garden needs direction. It needs pruning. It needs feeding. It needs watering at the right time. It needs to be shown the way. Your kid needs to be shown the way. If you want beautiful children, show them the way. If you want ugly children, you let them do what they want. So how do we become better parents? Number three says parents need a plan. Parents need a plan. You imagine a football coach having no plan, like the ASU coach for last night in the Galaxy game. Imagine a football coach having no plan to lead his team to victory. So he never puts any plays in action. He never calls any plays. He never tells his players what to do. What if he didn't discipline them and make them exercise and build up stamina? How could he expect them to perform? What if he let them run wild and call whatever play they wanted? It'd be total chaos. The team wouldn't know what to do. It wouldn't accomplish anything. Parents, you need a good parenting plan. You need a good game plan. That means you define the attitudes, behaviors, and character traits you want to see in your child. What parameters will you raise them in? I always think of this. I put my arms out, my kids in the middle, and my arms are the parameters. You know, it's not tight. It's not wide like a free-range kid, but I want to give them some parameters. And as long as they stay in it and they're choosing good choices, that's fine. But, you know, when they get close to the edge, I just kind of bring them back in the middle. I'm showing them the way. I want them to stay in that plan. I want them to get going in the right direction. And so what you need to do is picture in your mind what your kid will look like at 2, at 4, at 10, 13, 18, and 25. You picture what you want your child to look like in the future. Now, I don't picture my children with a high-paying job. Some parents do. I don't picture my kids in a big mansion or something like that. That's not what I picture. I picture qualities, attitudes that I want to see in my child. I use this picture of Jesus in Luke 2:52. Again, he was 12 years old at this time. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Isn't that amazing? Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. This is what I wanted for my children. I want my children, my teenager, to be filled with wisdom and integrity. I want them to grow in favor with God. And then, you know, God loved Jesus. You know, he respected Jesus. He admired his integrity and humility and his love for him. People respected Jesus. They admired who he was. I want my kids to grow up and to be respected by God, to be acknowledged by God as being good kids and by other people. I have a plan for them. I know what they will look like. In fact, there's three qualities I would like to see in my children. We talked about the three R's in school: reading, writing, which is starts with a W. I never understood that, and arithmetic, which starts with an A. That's why it's a flawed plan. You know, we want reading, writing, and arithmetic. Well, I threw those out. That's just a given, right? The first R I want is I want respect. I want my children to respect themselves, to accept them the way God made them, to appreciate who they are and the way God made them. God does not make junk. I always appreciate it. My parents taught me to appreciate who I was. You know, I tell you if I had one little thing I'd like to change in my life is, God, why did I go to school? Why did I start school at 4'11"? I mean, I was 4'11". I'm about this tall. Okay. The first thing that happened to me when I went to freshman year and I was this big is two seniors cornered me in the hallway, no, in the stairway of the high school and wanted me to buy a hall pass from them. And they were big. They cornered me. And I laughed. Are you trying to intimidate me? You've never met my brother. You never met Cousin Kenny who lived next door. Those two tortured me my whole life. Get out of my way. Respect. Appreciate who they are. They need to love God completely. They need to learn to love people. They need to respect you as a parent. At a young age, we teach them to be polite, to be patient, to wait for good things. We need to teach them to say please and thank you. We think that's just silliness, but no, we teach them how to be respectful. We are respectful. The second thing I want to teach them is the second R is responsibility. They need to learn how to make the right decisions on their own, not just because you're watching. They need to be responsible for themselves and their behavior and accept the consequences if they've done wrong. They need to be responsible for their fellow man by caring and being compassionate towards others. They need to seek the good of others. They need to be good stewards of all that God has given them, whether it's money or wealth or love or compassion or intelligence. And that's why as parents, you need to give your children chores. You need to give them responsibilities to keep the room a certain way. It doesn't have to be perfect, but you need to give them chores and responsibilities. All of my children started working when they're 16 or 17 in a regular job. Larry and I, because we had lovely parents who owned grocery stores, we started at 6. It didn't hurt us none. Respect, responsibility. The third one is righteousness. I want my kids to grow up right with God. That means they know who God is, they appreciate his word, and they obey it. And so you cannot make them righteous. You can only show them the way. You can show that your life is better because of Jesus Christ. Only Jesus can make us right with God when we trust in him, when he forgives us of our sins, when he shows us the way. So we need to show our children what godly behavior looks like and how it will make your life better. Respect, responsibility, righteousness. Is your children, are your children growing up that way, or you just want them to be the smartest kid in school? You want them to be the richest kid when they graduate? You want them to have the best job? Nothing wrong with that. But these three things are carried all the way into eternity. People like Jesus because he had these qualities. God liked Jesus. Knowing Jesus, even at age 12, enriched people's lives. It made them happy. It blessed them to know this young man. Wild fruit is bitter. Wild fruit is tart. Wild fruit is not tasty, but cultivated fruit, fruit that has been cared for and nourished, is sweet and juicy. See, does your children, does your child, your teenager, your adult, young adult child, do they enrich the lives around them? Or do they make people bitter? That's what I want to see in my kid. Now, I don't want to be prideful, but I want to tell you this right now. I have wonderful children. On the other hand, my wife has wild children. Because when they're good, they're mine. When they misbehave, honey, what's wrong with your children? You know, where did you go wrong? If you want wonderful children, you need a plan. Okay, the fourth thing we need to do is parents need patience. Parents need patience. Matthew 18:5. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. You cause a little one to sin against God, to sin against Jesus, you'd be better off just throwing yourself in the ocean. Now, this is a bit of hyperbole. Jesus is just emphasizing a point. Children are important to God. Raising children is perhaps our most sacred responsibility. We are doing the work of God when we're raising children. You know, for the most part, children do not cause problems. They reveal them, right? Children don't necessarily cause problems. They reveal problems, usually with the parents. Usually reveals that the parent is immature, or the parent is too selfish, or the parent is impatient. Parents who cannot discipline themselves cannot discipline their children. So if you can't even keep yourself on track in life, your children are going to struggle. If you're an alcoholic, your children will probably be an alcoholic. Use drugs, your children will probably use drugs. If you don't worship God, your children probably won't worship God. Parents who cannot discipline themselves cannot discipline their children. My oldest sister was a teacher, and she would tell me how she taught like first grade, and she would tell me how parents would come in because they're frustrated. My kid won't do what I tell them to do. My kids are causing me problems at home. They won't do their homework. They won't do this. And so my sister would say, well, I can help you. I have a program to modify the behavior of your children. If you follow this program, your children will change. And so, you know, do this, do that on certain aspects of their behavior. This is when a parent's supposed to say, this is how a parent's supposed to respond. And the parents would go, come back and they go, well, thank you, it worked. They're better. They're behaving. They're doing their homework. And my sister looks at me and goes, it's not a child behavior modification program. It's a parent behavior modification program. Okay, you don't just hit the kid with a program and say, here, read this and do it. The parents' behavior change, their children behave. They had to change the areas of their lives when it came to discipline and nurturing their children to make sure that the children understood that their yes was yes and their no was no. Not like, mom, her no is no, no, okay. No, no, give in. You know, mom's no is no, but dad's no is yes. You know, your yes is yes and your no is no. So the parents need patience. Just like a farmer who's working the field and he's waiting for the harvest. He has to wait. He has to work. He has to weed. He has to water. It takes time and energy and patience to raise children. You know, patience comes from God. If you're a parent, you say, I have no patience. I'm frustrated. I'm upset. I'm angry. I'm tired. I'm wore out. Well, patience comes from God. It comes from God when we have faith in God's word. In the instruction we've already read today, we realize that we can do it if we follow God's word and not the world's, not, you know, Dr. Spock and all these things, not our own feelings and fears. We follow God's word. When we rely on feelings, what happens? We lose our temper. We get upset. We yell at our kids. We give up and give in and let them do what we want. When we honor God's word and we raise our children with love and direction and training, we have faith in that. We can have patience. Now, understand this, parents. Exercising patience is your most powerful tool. When you're raising your children and you are a patient parent, it is your most powerful tool. In fact, you will drive your children nuts when they realize that what they're doing to manipulate you is not working because you can outlast them. You're not going to give in and start screaming at them. Now, children love it when they can provoke you to push your emotional button and make you get all excited and make you upset. Children love it when they can manipulate you to give in. Children love it when they wear you down and they know they'll get what you want. But when they realize that they can't manipulate you, that you're not going to fall for their game or their trap. We're not going to scream and give in. When you're patient and you're patient with grace and courage, and I'm not afraid of you anymore. You know, you little kid, I'm not afraid of you. I'm in charge. I'm the parent. I read God's word. I'm the parent. You're supposed to honor and obey me. When they realize that you can no longer be manipulated, but now you can manipulate them. You know, parents are supposed to manipulate their children, believe it or not. You're supposed to brainwash them and teach them what's right and wrong and how to respect you. Parents need patience. If you don't have any patience, let's talk about it. If you're having trouble raising your kids, let's talk about it. You don't have to do it by yourself. We have many parents in this family. We raise children. We're grandparents now. We would want to help. You don't have to do it by yourself, but you need patience. Patience comes from putting your faith in God. The last thing we want to talk about is parents need to pray. You're like, really? I already do it now. I pray it all the time for my kids. Psalm 127:3, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So are the children of one's youth. Happy is a man who has a quiver full of them. Home, your home ought to be the happiest place on earth. Your home and your children should be the happiest place. Not because you're too strict. Not because you're spoiling them and giving them everything they want and they're happy. Because you showed them the way. Because you taught them respect and responsibility and righteousness. Now, I know some of you right now are probably thinking, Pastor Terry, that's nice. God gave you good kids, but you don't know my kids. You know, God gave me a different set of kids than the ones He gave you. They have problems. They have special needs. They're moody. They're wild. They're little maniacs. You know, I don't know what to do with them, God. You know, you don't know my kids. Well, I have raised kids. I've worked with kids for my whole life. I watched all of you raise your kids, and nothing is impossible when you put your faith in God, you listen to His words, and you follow it with love. When the fruits of the Spirit overcome you, love, joy, peace, patience, self-control, faithfulness, and endurance, when you have those qualities, you can do it. But we need to pray for our kids every day. Because you pray, when you pray, you get your head and your heart aligned in the right direction. So every day you pray, God, I want to be a good parent. I want to be a good parent to my children. I make a commitment to you, Father, to raise these children with love and devotion and with your word. So in prayer, we connect ourselves to God. God, I want to do your will. And in prayer, we pray for our children by name. God, I want to bless these children. And then you become the conduit. See, you're connected to God. You're connected to your children. All of God's power, wisdom, and love flow to your child through you. You become the vessel of blessing. Not the curse, not the burden, but blessing. So I encourage you today, parents, don't give up. Children, don't give up. Honor your parents and obey them. If you want your child to be right with God, you need to be right with God yourself. The Bible says that we're all sinners. And I was trying to explain this to a man who was a good man not too long ago. I said, understand this. You know, we think sinner, I'm saying you're not a criminal. Okay, sinners means that we do not do what God wants us to do. But the Bible says we're all sinners. We've all disappointed God. But we can be right with God. We can be perfect because Jesus Christ came to this world to save us from our sins, to make us perfect. He died on the cross for our sins and He rose from the dead. When we trust in Christ, we discover the parent in us. You know, when parents put their faith in God, it transforms their family and their home. So I encourage you parents, if you don't know Christ as your Savior and Lord, trust in Him today. And maybe young people and those of you who are a little older, are you honoring your parents today? Are you obeying them and taking care of them? Are you obeying them when you're young? As they get older, are you taking care of them and still honoring them? If you don't honor your parents, you do not honor God. So today, we talked about parents. We talked about children. Do you need to be a better parent? Do you need a better child? As we go into our decision time, what commitment do you make to God, need to make to God? What confession do you need to make? What challenge do you want to accept to become a better parent or a better child? Let's pray. Father, we know that your word is good. Your word is a blessing. I pray, Father, that those of us who may be parents, that we'll continue to raise our children or our grandchildren in a way that glorifies you, that they may know how to be responsible and respectful and righteous in your eyes. And if there are kids today and young people who are struggling with their parents, or they got a bit of bitterness in their heart because of their parents are too strict or they're having problems, I pray, Father, that you give them a new heart to appreciate their parents and realize they're doing the best they can. And if someone needs help, Lord, we want to help them and encourage and bless them. Father, you are our Father in heaven. You are our example. Your Son Jesus was an example of what a child should be. Help us, Lord, to be more like Him. If there's someone here today who needs to trust in you, Lord, make a commitment to you that they'll open their heart to you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing, and if I can pray with you or encourage you in any ways, please come forward. Let's stand.